I never like it myself when I'm in a large kind of public setting like this and a speaker asks everyone to close their eyes. But I'm going to ask you to do it anyway, because there is often some good purpose to it. And I'm going to lay out a passage for you and a scene that is meant to be imagined. You don't have to close your eyes if you really don't want to, but just don't be like a middle school boy looking around for seeing whose eyes might be open. And this scene now is in many places in Scripture. It's a common refrain, and it's a memory for Israel of coming out of Egypt and crossing through the sea. And they arrive at the foot of the mountain, sometimes called Sinai, sometimes called Horeb, where they meet the presence of the Lord. And I want you then to imagine this scene as Moses relays it. On that day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, and the Lord said to me, gather the people to me. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud, and deep gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but you saw no form. There was only a voice. God here goes on to proclaim those words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, the ten words given to Israel. And the law goes out to the people of Israel in the scene of this fire and smoke and deep gloom. You can open your eyes again if you're still closed. It's a kind of Lord of the Rings-ish scene, isn't it? This kind of deep and mysterious and powerful scene of fire and gloom and smoke and yet no form. And I read that for us today because I think it's so significant. It is a thread, maybe the central stream of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Is God's central and unwavering desire to gather near to his creation and his people. Whatever you might think of yourself or of the nations, God longs to be near to us. It is his deepest desire to share his fellowship with his creatures. And this is what we see him doing at Sinai. Now, you know very well from Scripture, I assume, that God cannot dwell with people who are unjust and unholy. And so the giving of this law is the provision for Israel to do the things that are necessary for God to draw near. It is dangerous to draw near to a holy God when you are not holy. So the law, contrary to a long list of meaningful prescriptions for life, are the very means of grace for Israel to be in his presence, to draw near. This is what he longs to do. And what's really significant about this scene, as you are imagining it, is that it's full of visual imagery, and yet God's not really in the visual imagery. He's in the word, a voice. There's a contrast here that's being made to the nations of Israel. I read the first two commandments today. The primary reason Israel's to make no idols is because your God is not wood or stone or metal. He is an immortal, invisible, transcendent God. And Israel knows him by his voice, by the words he speaks in Scripture. Israel is made to imagine not some kind of deity they can picture, but to see him through his works and through his laws. Do you want God to draw near? Read and listen, and he is present. In fact, in this same passage, Moses tells the Israelites, if you do all these laws, the nations will say, what other great nation is there that has a law so righteous? And what other great nation is there that has a God so near to it whenever we call upon him? The marvelous kind of evangelical witness of Israel is that they can make God come near by obeying this righteous law. You can see, I hope, that thread in Scripture that God desires to draw near, and the means for Israel to do so is the law. And this should open up for us then the Advent season that we're in, because Advent is about coming, is what the word means. It's about appearing. It is about God's persistent desire to come again and make fellowship with his fallen people. And Isaiah is that kind of central text that shows up in Romans and in our Old Testament reading today. It's kind of a paradigm book of Advent hope, of the coming and the renewal of the divine presence in the midst of his people. And I want to turn to Isaiah 11 briefly and look at that, but back out for a minute. If you don't know anything about Isaiah, this long book, it is actually can quite easily be mapped in terms of its progress of themes. There are three main sections to the book of Isaiah. The first 39 chapters are about a seed of David, a root, a branch, a king. We read in Isaiah 11 today that will come from Jesse a root of David. A branch, a king brings justice. He brings order to the world so that God might draw near. Chapters 40 and on are a servant. The servant who is stricken for us so that we might draw near to the temple again. Presence, law, kingship, presence. And then in chapters 56, a messenger, John the Baptist. One who will proclaim the way of the king, that root of David, that servant of the Lord. So that what? We might have fellowship with God again. It's an amazing story if you think about it, that this God will persist again and again to draw near to the people whom he's created. And so the Advent hope, the hope of Isaiah, is the means in which he will come to a nation that has broken its covenant with God. He'll send a branch, and he'll send a servant, and he'll send a messenger to prepare the way. That is Advent. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. He is coming. It is good news, Advent is, that our God, despite our failings, despite our refusal to seek him, will nevertheless draw near. This brings us to the heart of that scene in Isaiah chapter 11 today. This root of Jesse who draws near is the king who sets the order of the world right again. If you're too involved in news like I am, you know of war and you know of inequality, you know of injustice, you know of climate crises, you know of poverty, you know of great tyranny, you know of great political division. And this root of Jesse who comes to judge, to listen to the cries of the poor, Psalm 72, to bring down the unjust, to lift up the oppressed, is the one who gives history its shape back again. If the world looks disordered to you, it is because it is. But Christ is the seed, is the branch of David, who will put it in shape again, so that his presence might again be near. He will put on him the spirit of wisdom and the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. The seed of David, the servant of the Lord, is one who comes to show the face of the Lord to us again. It says there, that beautiful metaphor at the end of Isaiah 11, 9, and the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. This drowning of the knowledge of the Lord, what a beautiful image the Lord longs to give to us. I want to fully show you my glorious and holy face. The end of Psalm 72 today, and all the earth shall be full with the glory of the Lord. That is his desire, to draw near to you, to be present in our midst. And I invite you into that scene in this season of Advent to welcome again the presence of the Lord. We'll end here going to that passage in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist at the river. This is the messenger of the Lord. He's come to prepare the way. And look how Jesus comes with repentance, with the baptism of the Spirit, and with a winnowing fork in his hand and fire before him. A royal king, It's the vision of Psalm 72. It's the seed of David. He will put this world in order again. The royal reign is good news for us because he can answer all of the unjust matters that face us in the world. And that winnowing fork is a reminder for us to get our lives in order so that we might see his face when he comes. You may know this in Matthew's gospel, but it's this beautiful progression. It's got Moses all over it, the beginning of Matthew's gospel, the gospel in general. But here's Jesus at the river with the baptism of John. And from the rivers and the water, Jesus goes to the desert for 40 days. Israel crossed through the sea for 40 years. Israel crossed through the river for 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. And when he comes out of the wilderness, he goes up on a mountain to teach. Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Matthew brought the Israelites out through the sea to a mountain to experience the glory of the Lord, the fire and smoke and deep gloom. Only now it's not fire and smoke and deep gloom. It is the sacrifice and risen Christ. Friends, this is good news. We don't stand at a mountain with fire and smoke and deep gloom. We stand with one who was like us, who bore our burdens, who was stricken for us. And he longed with his hands open, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Friends, my prayer for you, my request of you, my encouragement for us this week is to ask ourselves, how may I order my life in this Advent? Where might the King of all the earth ask me to shape things up and make them a home so that we might seek him and see his face? Ask the Lord to reveal himself to you in these days ahead, for he comes to show us the Lord. Amen.